and congregation, everybody enjoyed this, I'm sure. I want to say a word tonight about there is no place like home. This is Father's Day. I don't know what your first impressions were. If I should ask you to give a testimony and go back and tell me tonight, what is your first experience or impression about your father? You go back in your memory and you think, what was that first impression that you had about him in the days gone by? There's a story over in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, and beginning with verse 12. It talks about the welfare of the home. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. You remember the city referred to here as the old city of Sodom. Plunge into immorality, collapsing morally. The people of Sodom had sown to the flesh, and it was the center of wickedness. It was not only bad, but it was getting worse all the time. God had been very patient with them. Abraham, the wonderful old man of prayer, had been praying, and God now had sent two messengers to come and urge them to flee for their lives. And he says to them, hast thou any besides son-in-law, sons, daughters, whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. It is no wonder that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem as he looked upon the lives of some of the people who lived in that city. If the secrets of all the hearts of this great city of ours could be revealed tonight, it would be a tragic story. There would be no way to describe the heartache and the heartbreak and the distress and the shame in this city in which we live. If we could stand at the door of every household in this city tonight and pour out our hearts to them and to those who dwell under the roof, did you know the city is the nerve center of all of civilization? And as goes the city, so goes the social order of the nation. That's why it's vital and important that this church remain at the heart of the city with its message and with its ministry. Our city saved means salvation. Our city lost means corruption and destruction. And the home is the chief of all institutions. And the home is in peril. It is in danger. Now, as never before in modern times, worldliness claims well-to-do people. A million teenagers will be pregnant this year. Multitudes of the poor will never be able to pay their bills. The underprivileged in the city. Our system is a competitive system. And in our rush and in our speed, if the home is lost, all will go down. It is important for the economic problems, the labor problems, public education. But most important, there must be the conservation of home life. In our memories, home is important to us because we remember about home. There are millions of homes today that are uprooted. Did you know there will be 20-some million families that will move this year? Families from small towns, large cities, uprooted by large corporations, by other means, sub-military, by defense workers, by migrant workers. There are people who constantly live on wheels. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is get on the highway and drive a couple of 3 days. And you will be able to see that a large number of Americans live on wheels. All kind of trailers, house trailers, campers, you name it. You see them all on the road, moving, moving. Young people are uprooted. They go and live in college dorms. They live in their own apartments. And people have a tendency to drift today and try to live without God and without the church. We need to give ourselves some devotion to fidelity. If people trifle with the home, they undermine the foundation of our civilization. When the messengers were sent of God to warn Lot and his family to get out of the city, that the rapid destruction was coming, the people would not listen. His daughter. And all were bound up together in the relationship of family life, the most sacred thing that is involved in life. I have often said that when the family is destroyed, no one knows, no one realizes how many people are actually hurt and crushed, not just the two, but there is the child, there are the parents, there are the grandparents, and the ripple goes out, larger and larger. It's a matter of parenthood, the highest. Many are the times I have seen even tears on the cheeks of fathers as they have said reverently to me, a little boy came to our house last night, or a little girl. The advent of a baby, something so wonderful, so marvelous. Well, did you know that training and taking care of your children is one of the most rewarding things
that you can do for the coming years as you watch them march away to school the first day, as you watch them as they take part in little programs at school or church, as you watch them go off to college or the university and return with their diploma, as you watch them go and stand at the marriage altar, now it would be foolish for parents to emphasize their interest in just the temporal things. It would be disastrous to do that. And I'm afraid many times that's what happens to us. Some parents give all their energy maybe to Little League or to some school activity, and they actually forget that the child is something of immortality. That child is going to live and be accountable unto God. A woman once said that she bought an exercise plan and paid for it. But when the thing expired, she complained to the company. It had not helped her at all. In fact, she weighed more than she did when she purchased the plan. And when the company checked her record and attendance at the exercise classes, they discovered that she had only attended 2 sessions. And she was dissatisfied with it. Many people say the church is ineffective for the same reason. Christ cannot do much for us unless we are there and allow him to work through us. Many of you let your family lifestyle include the church, but others excluded from their activities. Now you cannot expect Christ to make much of an impact on your family, on your home, if you insulate your family against the church and against the Bible. A church family was visited to determine why the parents and the children did not attend. And the reason for not attending was that the children do not seem to be interested in the church. The thing that the family is interested in determines the interests of the children. What a family places in its schedule decides what's important. The failure of the church to provide a spirit of Christ in the home is usually the failure of the member to give it either strength or opportunity. Families develop attitudes that are set toward the church. Listen to the children of a family for a while, and you will discover the attitude of the family toward the church. All that I have to do is talk to a little boy or girl for a few minutes, and I can determine the attitude of the family toward the church. Many families see the church as an enemy, and they're suspicious of it. They take a negative attitude toward the church, and they say that the church is not good. And lots of people in their homes charge the church with the fact that the church is only interested in money. Sometimes there are other motives that they charge the church with. And as they do this, it develops a resistance in the child, and he resists as he develops. I read about an experiment between two different audiences. The same speaker, the same man with the same lecture. Before the first audience, he was introduced as a criminal, and the audience gave him a negative response to his speech. The next audience that he was introduced to, he was introduced as a scientist. He gave the same speech, he was applauded. You see, the introduction and the reception all hinge upon that one thing. What I'm saying is how Christ, how we introduce him into the home, and our views of the church will determine the kind of reception that we can expect from our children, our boys and girls. A man shall not live by bread alone. And the church can help provide the atmosphere. You remember the story of Zacchaeus, how that he was touched by Jesus, and his whole home was saved and transformed. A man came to the preacher once, and he said, "I would like for you to be the parole advisor for my son, who is in trouble." The preacher inquired of the man about his family. This teenage boy had robbed a service station, and now he was out on parole. When the pastor talked to this man about what church he belonged to, or if any, he was very abrupt. He said, "I have had 240 acres of land to pay for, and I haven't had much time for the church." The pastor replied, "Well, you have taught your son. What you want materially, you go after it. And the problem is this, that your son has gone after it in the wrong way." But what the man wanted the preacher to do was to undo what he had failed to do in the last 20 years. He had kept Christ out of touch from his life and from the family of that boy. When Christ comes into our homes, he changes it all. The treasurer of the church was surprised once when he received a $2,500 check. It was from a new member of the congregation. And when he got to the bottom of it, he discovered that here was a man who was so grateful that he had been introduced to Christ, that his whole family and his whole life of all those about him had been changed through the church ministry. And because of his gratitude, he said, "I want to express it." The Bible tells us to take this child and rear it for me. That is the divine commission. And if we do that, then we find that we do not fail in other points. There is a true illustration of a man who was in a wagon. The horses were frightened as he was going down a country road. The horses rushed on, and somehow the man was thrown from the wagon. But he held on to the line, and he was dragged along over the rough road. A neighbor called to him to let go and release them, but he held on. With all his weight, he held on. And until at last, The horses stopped. They were at a standstill. The neighbor came up to find him just without breath. And in a whisper, and the man asked him why he didn't turn loose and let go. He said, "Look in the wagon." And there was a little baby boy, 2 years old. The father had given his life for that boy. Now we applaud him. We take our hats off to him. And what I'm trying to say is that if we could take that out of the temporal setting and bring it over into the highest, where the scripture tells us, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" The old prophet's question was right. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? I'll tell you, my friends, it is always very touching to me to see a father come in with his son, a mother come in with her son, and they're so close, bound together, as Bobby Burns said in the Cotter's Saturday Night, that plain man, when the day's work was done, called the family around him, opened the Word of God, and read, and then they sang together, and the old man knelt down and prayed. It is a beautiful picture of the Christian home. And I know that's the kind of home that you desire. What about when sickness comes? And it comes into the home, and people want help. There is scarcely a day that somebody does not say to me, "There is somebody sick, or somebody in the hospital, somebody who needs just a prayer or some help." And I've seen parents bend over the bed of even young people. And what a tragic thing it is to see people die without Christ. Before the last hour, he said, "What about your home? What about your home life?" One by one, the answer to the question is, are they in the ark? The man said to Lot, "What about your sons-in-law? What about your sons, your daughters?" One time a man said to a woman who lived in a beautiful house, I heard a woman tell me one time something very similar. "You must be the happiest person in all the world to live in this beautiful house with your children, with your husband." "Oh," she said, "I must be happy," you say, "living in this beautiful house. But my husband is not a Christian. He is going the other way. I am going God's way. And my children, I fear, are following in his footsteps. I'd rather have bread than water. And I'd have my husband on the side of Christ than to have all the grandest palace in all this world and have all of us on the wrong road." Yes. Think about it. Here was Lot. He tarried. He hesitated. He tried to get his sons-in-law. He tried to get his daughters. But his sons-in-law scorned him. They thought nothing of it. As you refresh your memory, you remember that Lot's wife became disobedient. disobedient. And you recall what happened to her. And you also recall the two single daughters of Lot as they came out of that doomed city, that they became the mothers of two of the wickedest tribes listed in the entire Bible. No wonder that Lot, when he sat alone in his tent door and the sun was going down and the night was falling, for a father to say that I have failed. The demons must have laughed at Lot quite often. We have heard fathers say something about his boy drinking. A sad story of delinquency. While we were on our way home this week, the radio announced the drug raid in the high schools in the town where we were. 30-some young boys and girls and adults who had been selling drugs were taken in that single night. What about your home? Hast thou any here besides thy son-in-law, thy son, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. I started off by saying home is the sweetest place on earth. And it ought to be. It can be. It should be. And every parent, without hesitation and without delay, should say that I honestly give my home over to him. And I will say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Make me and mold me after thy will. I stand here yielded and still. God be praised for fathers who are godly. As we go back in our first memory of our fathers, when we remember them for the first time, what was it we remembered? I remember so many things about my father. But one thing I will never forget. On the Lord's Day, he always said, we are going to church. I never remember him standing back, criticizing the church, or the people, or even the uneducated and untrained preacher that we had in the country church. I suppose the first preacher I remember had about a fourth grade education. But I remember my father was always supportive of that church. Yes, home really is the sweetest place on earth. Let us turn in our hymnals now as we sing hymn number 375, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. 375.
Just as we pray in our work and our listening, in the